I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I dream I never know anyone at the party, and I'm always the host.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, a few minutes past 3 p.m. I was just telling the guys, I forgot whether I told them or not, but I had a meeting today at Bethesda for No One Dies Alone, and they're doing an article on the effect that DGS has had on their volunteers for NODA. And in the interview, they were asking me what I literally do when you sit vigil with someone who's passing away. And one of the ladies there, Melissa, had sat with my mom when she was dying. And it just hit me, I was completely unprepared for this. She said, well, for example, Mrs. Glover was a hand holder. And she said that all the volunteers noted that when they would hold her hand, if they would let go to do something, she would reach out for their hand. And it was so sweet, but yet so like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. No one had ever told me that. And it just, I was just like, completely stunned.
Yeah.
I don't know, taken aback at how sweet it was and yet how sad it is. And so.
But it's interesting that, you know, this much time later, you learn something.
Yeah, right?
That's pretty amazing.
For sure.
I think that's really sweet. And it does line up with, like, you know, because you would always talk about how you would go see her and hold her hand and, like, play with her hair, brush her hair for her.
Oh my gosh. I'm surprised she had any hair left in her head. Yeah, the sweetest thing. When I left her for the last time, the day she died, she grabbed my hand and she kissed it 3 times. Just out of nowhere.
Mm. Pretty cool.
Yeah, which was not like something that she did.
Right.
That was just really, I mean, I guess she was saying goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
So anyway, that's why you need to volunteer for NODA, because you get to do that. Like, I'm going to leave here tonight and go sit vigil with someone at 6 p.m. You get to do that for someone else's loved one when they can't be there. Mm-hmm. It's a whole thing. Easy peasy.
Yeah.
Go to BethesdaHealth.org. DGS Happy Hour?
Sure. Ooh,
yeah. Who wants to go first?
I mean, I have a topic, but it's not the most cheery topic.
That's all right.
People keep dying at Disney. Have you guys seen this?
No.
So, this is the 4th guest who has passed away in the past 3 weeks. And this happened at Florida's Disney World Resort. A woman in her 40s was transported to the hospital where she passed away. There were no signs of foul play. But it's just kind of weird that this is happening for Disney over and over again recently.
So, she just died?
She just passed. A 40-year-old woman has passed. No foul play, but they also aren't giving a reason for the death. It's just kind of weird.
Well, apparently, two of them, if I'm reading this right, two of them were suicides.
Wow.
Which makes it a little less weird on the park side, but also sad that that's what happened.
Terribly sad.
Yeah.
That's always very tragic, but like at Disney, I don't know. That is
and then there was that
bizarre.
There was that lady on, or I think it was actually a guy, on Universal. Like 3 weeks ago, you guys remember that? He was on the new ride. They have like a new roller coaster, and he died on the roller coaster. Mm-mm. It's called like the Shooting Star or something like that. And he died on the roller coaster, and then that was the big, like, they were kind of saying, like, I don't know. There was a lot of shadiness on Universal's part of, like, you know, there was a lot of, like, they didn't seem to want to, you know,
get into any details or anything?
Yeah, get into any like specific details. Yeah.
I think sometimes there's a privacy issue though.
That makes sense.
If the family if the family isn't giving you the go ahead to say it, then you're not going to say it.
Yeah.
But they don't know until the investigation is done.
Fair point, yeah.
If it's the, you know what I mean, if the riot itself had anything to do with it, which I don't for what it's worth, I don't believe that it did.
Yeah.
I think it was just one of those things where he should not have gotten on the roller coaster with a condition that he had that's listed. You know, if you have these conditions, don't do this.
Yeah.
And he did it anyway, and unfortunately came back to cause a problem for him.
I have a more uplifting one.
Yes, please.
I believe this happened in Germany. there were three cloistered nuns who had lived pretty much their entire life at this convent, and it had fallen into disrepair, and it turns out they were the last three alive. There used to be like 50, and now there are only three, and they're all very old. And they got sick, and they took them to the hospital, and then when they got in the ambulance to go home, they took them to a nursing home. And so the three found themselves in a nursing home, and they're like, this sucks. And they literally broke out of the nursing home and made their way back to the convent and hired a locksmith to break the locks and get them in. And then I guess the diocese or whatever it is said, okay, you can stay.
Well, they've been fighting them because apparently they're up there with like no power, but like those people in the town have brought them generators.
Wow.
And food and things along those lines. And one of the women, because they're jokingly calling them the nuns on the run. But one of them said, we'd rather die in this place in shambles than die in an old person's home. That's what the lady said. Or the one of the three that spoke.
Yeah.
That's pretty, pretty entertaining. Yeah. They had to I think some townspeople actually went up there and got the water running again for them and everything like that.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's very cool.
That's very cool. Wheels got anything?
Yeah. I mentioned this to Andrew earlier, kind of just, I don't know, just get a vibe on it. I want to get, especially Rachel and Andrew, given their age. But, you know, we're a lot of buzz about Mamdani winning in New York.
Yes.
And people are trying to figure out why, how does this happen, all that. Well, it turns out that in 2020, Peter Thiel, who is not in any way a socialist or a liberal, right? He's a very conservative billionaire. He sent an email to like Mark Zuckerberg and Mark Andreessen and a few other people in that tech bro billionaire group. And I'm going to read part of it, but I'm going to edit it a little bit because he words some things pretty weirdly. But I'm going to try to shorten it up a little bit. But he said, I would be the last person to advocate for socialism, but when 70% of millennials say they're pro-socialist, we need to do better than simply dismiss them by saying they're stupid or entitled or brainwashed. We should try to understand why it's happening. And then he went on to say, it seems pretty straightforward to me. When one has too much student debt, or if housing is too unaffordable, then one will have negative capital for a long time and or find it hard to start accumulating capital in the form of real estate. And if one has no stake in the capitalist system, then someone might turn against it. And I mean, I think he pretty much turned out to be right in terms of, at least in terms of the way it's being viewed. It doesn't mean that one election in one city changes the national scope, but it explains why the younger generations, Gen Z and millennials, are not as excited about capitalism because it isn't working for them. And what struck me about it is here's this tech billionaire who has spent billions getting like backing Republicans, backing conservatives, and recognizing this, but then for 5 years not doing anything about it. So you recognized it. You told some of your fellow billionaires, hey, this is a problem. They're not getting the things out of capitalism that we got and that our parents got. And you wonder why they're starting to look at other options. Because when the current thing isn't working for you, you look for something else. And I thought that was interesting that it was Peter Thiel that noted that. And it's obvious, isn't it? Don't we need to do a better job of making the system work for everybody?
Yeah.
As opposed to making it just work for rich people or people that have had, 30 years of owning a home, right? People that are Gen X and older.
You and I grew up that socialism was the devil.
Yes.
And so,
and the versions of it that we saw were.
Yeah. And even today when someone says socialism, like my sphincter tightens, right?
Right.
But if you grew up where people weren't just crapping on socialism all the time, and especially if you went to university, where I don't think it's like a liberal factory like a lot of people do, but it's, you know, academia has always been pretty liberal. I know Nick got a big dose of it when he went to Mizzou. And so if that has been your intellectual experience, and then you get out of school and the current capitalism isn't serving you, it makes perfect sense why someone would go, well, let me look at this. It's just the difference in generations.
Yeah, and I think here's what's interesting to me, and it is interesting anyway, because what people are advocating for is not socialism or communism. It's democratic socialism, which is a different thing. So democratic socialism is what you have in Sweden. It's what you have in Canada and in the UK and Australia and Finland and places like that. It's not what you have in China or Russia or places like that. That is full-blown communism. And the problems with that are more about the fact that they are dictatorships as opposed to what the form of government is, right? Because any form of government can be corrupted. Any ism can be corrupted. It's whether or not you have the checks and balances in place to keep the top from gaining too much power, which is why people here want to have more checks and balances enforced, because you don't want to take those away. But what's really interesting is that somebody who is not aligned that way, saw it, sees why, is saying we shouldn't be calling these people stupid. We need to understand this and maybe do something about it. But what's been done about it?
I also think, and I've used this analogy many, many times in the show, that if you've ever played pickup basketball on a Saturday morning with your buddies, the first two or three games, everyone's playing defense and calling fouls. And then at some point when you get tired, someone throws up a half-court hook shot. And then it's just jackass time. And everyone's trying to dunk and do behind the back passes. I think that's kind of what has happened. That up until Donald Trump, you know, we pretty much between the rails, you know, there wasn't a giant difference, you know, between the conservatives and the Democrats. But since Donald Trump, everything just seems so nutty. I think it allows the younger generations to go, great.
Yeah.
Let's get nutty. You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
And it also speaks to me, an attitude that older generations have towards younger generations. And again, I'm in one of the older generations, so I'm not speaking about they and them. I'm talking about people my age and older. We tend to look at younger generations and say, they're idiots if they don't see it the way we do. Instead of looking at it the other way is, A, either we need to teach them or we need to show them a better version of this. Because the version you and I grew up with was awesome.
Yeah.
Right? Your parents, all of our parents, your dad had a job. Your mom didn't have to work, and it was enough for the household, right? I mean, like, we had all of these types of, you know, it was easy to get into a house. When I was young, it was pretty easy to get into a house. We got into a house in our mid-20s, and it wasn't any kind of crazy difficulty. I mean, it's a big commitment, but it wasn't like it is now, where the prices have doubled and tripled in the last 20, 30 years, and wages have not increased. Well, if you want people to stay on a program, because I really do believe capitalism is the best way to go. I think it rewards creativity. It rewards hard work. It should provide a platform to people for people to climb upward. But lately, it's not. It's not. The jobs aren't providing that. The wages aren't going up to meet the cost of housing, to meet the costs of food and all of that. And God forbid you even try to start saving anything for your retirement. If you can't afford a house, we got this whole little backwards thing, but don't you need to show people that the system works for them too? But we have it so much now where the people who have power and the legislative power is in the boomer generation. It's the biggest generation and they vote. So there's a lot of, well, we're going to look out for ourselves, which everybody does, right? Everybody does, but there's nothing here saying, let's make this work. So, for the younger generation so that they can have it as good or better than we had it.
Wait, hold your thought. Okay. We'll go straight to you after the break. Quick break, right back, DGS. Welcome back, guys. DGS 324. When we left you, Wheels was making salient points about capitalism and democratic socialism and Gen Z and the millennials. And Andrew, you wanted to contribute.
Well, when I hear Kevin talk about capitalism in particular as a good system that has been, how would you describe it, Kevin?
Co-opted.
Co-opted, okay. Yeah. Corrupted, maybe even.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the a key difference, and it could be a generational thing, is that the way that I and many other people see it is that capitalism is not a, like, this corruption of capitalism, it's not a bug, it is a feature. Capitalism is doing what it's designed to do, which is allow consolidation of wealth and power. Like this situation that we have now in America, where such a small amount of the population controls such an absolutely absurd share of the wealth, that's expressly in the rules of what capitalism creates. So this is not like, oh yeah, I don't know, something went wrong with it. It's supposed to do this, and it's doing what it's supposed to do.
Well, it's only doing that because we don't participate. Because how many times we've talked about 10% of people show up for primaries, and we can't even get half the country to vote in a presidential election. If we did our jobs, we would have a version of capitalism that works.
Well, capitalism is an economic system. It's not a form of government.
No, what I'm saying is, if you elect the right people, if you choose people that are not going to allow this kind of stuff, that aren't going to allow random deregulation, that aren't going to cave in to their biggest donors, well, then you're going to get the good version, which is the regulated version. You're right, though, Andrew. The problem is, when you take away the guardrails, then it does do this. But we have to participate to make that happen.
Also, for what it's worth, I just want to say, I've said this on the air before, but I'm going to say it again here. Kevin was talking sort of semantically about communism and socialism versus like democratic socialism and stuff. They know the difference.
Yeah,
the people who are the people who fear, who say, "Oh, we can't have communism in this country. We're terrified."
Yeah.
They know the difference. They're not stupid.
Yep.
They know the difference. They do that intentionally. It's fear-mongering.
Yeah, it's a scary word.
It's fear-mongering to try and prevent votes from going opposite their direction.
Yeah, cuz I would say this. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of people today, and like, I don't care. I mean, I don't live in New York City, so none of their policies, nothing that Mamdani puts into place is going to affect me. It's a city. It's not a state. It's not a country. But people are like, I'm never going to New York because of this. Really? So you won't go to France? You wouldn't go to England? You wouldn't go to Finland or Australia? Because they're all democratic. They're all democracies with large social programs and socialist ideas. Those places are all functioning. It's not the ism. It's the people. The people in charge and the people who participate. And I'd be willing to bet you, in all of those democracies, a much higher percentage of people participate. I would be willing to bet you that we are one of the lowest in terms of participation percentage in the world when it comes to democracies.
I think Mamdani got elected because he pointed out the fact that New York is too expensive, and he said he was going to lower costs and make life easier.
Good point. Yeah.
I think a lot of people are very burnt out. A lot of people don't have enough money to have like a good life. Like, people are struggling. And then when they see someone who's 34 years old, who knows how to harness the power of social media, who has energy behind him and comes to them and says, "Hey, I understand you're in a rough place. I want to help. I understand you." I don't think it's any like head scratcher as to why this guy got elected, especially when your other choice was Andrew Cuomo, who's like an accused of sexual assault and sent a bunch of old people to die during COVID.
Yeah. Good point.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS from the Saliga Heating and Cooling Weather Desk. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. I've got a double beanie alert coming for you by Sunday night.
Nice.
I'm excited.
Before we get to Dave's forecast, let's give away some AC/DC tickets. The boys are going to be here at America Center on September 8th of next year. So you can win tickets right now. You call 314-436-7900 or toll free from anywhere, 800-925-1120. Caller number 6 is going to get two tickets to AC/DC. Have fun. I will see you there.
That's awesome.
So, It's like really, I love this weather. I love this weather because this is really nice. It's a nice bonus, but I'm ready for that high of 42, whatever it's going to be. Like, let's go.
Let's do it.
We still got a couple of days to go. We're going to see a little bouncing of temperatures because we have a couple of cold fronts coming through. Cool fronts, really. But the big one, the granddaddy of them all, is coming in on Saturday and will really take hold Saturday night and into Sunday. But tomorrow's a sunny day, a little windy in the afternoon, cold start because we're going down to 41. But 65 for the high, that's above average. A lot of clouds around Thursday night. Another weak little cool front coming by. Maybe a spot shower, 55. Friday, maybe a spot morning shower, windy and partly sunny, but 71 on Friday. Now, the strong cold front comes through late Friday night, Saturday morning. Still some questions on the exact timing, but Saturday is a mostly sunny day. This front is dry. 65 for the high. That's going to be in the morning. We'll be starting to drop off during the afternoon. Saturday night, some clouds around, 38 for the overnight low. And I'm going to keep a chance of us wandering snowflake here and there. That would be Saturday night, most likely late Saturday night. Sunday, mostly sunny, but it's cold. The high Sunday, only 46 for the high. Widespread hard freeze Sunday night into Monday morning. The range is probably going to be 21 to 26 degrees. The city will be about 26. Everybody else, low 20s. That's enough to kill off just about everything, including bugs.
And Dave, in general, which way do we go next week? Do we stay pretty cold?
No, it will start. Monday will be cold. Tuesday, I think, will be cold. Then we'll probably start get close to six, kind of average,
okay,
by the time we get to about Wednesday. Don't forget, winter forecast coming up on the 20th of November.
Nice. Yeah, we're going to have to work something out on that
one.
Yeah,
I just realized.
Oh.
We're having a big shindig on 11/20 because it's KMOX Day.
I apologize for that, Dave.
Well, we can move it. Okay. It's not cast in stone. You tell me.
We can do Wednesday. We can do Friday. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I'll have my people talk to your people.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, but that didn't work the last time.
Nah, that's a good point. Some of my people aren't the best.
It sounds really, but I think this is before I knew that programming was going to be different that day.
Yeah. Well, Rachel, you just set the date. Wednesday or Thursday? Friday.
What do you think, Dave? Well, we can text.
Yeah.
I think we should hash it out right here.
You're seeing the sausage made. If you were previous to this impressed by us, now you're not.
they're just like us.
They don't know what they're doing at all.
Can't find their ass with both hands. Headlines, Rach?
Yeah, brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right, we're always talking about ChatGPT, artificial intelligence. Is it actually intelligent? Well, an alarming study shows that ChatGPT and others confuse fact and fiction, reveals serious errors in judgment. So to determine a chatbot's ability to discern the truth, a group of scientists surveyed 24 large language models, including Claude, ChatGPT, DeepSeek, Gemini. These bots were asked 13,000 questions to gauge their ability to tell the difference between beliefs, knowledge, and facts. Overall, the machines were less likely to identify a false belief from a true belief. So the newer models do a little better than the older models, but it's still troubling. Models released during or after May of 2024 scored between 91.1% and 91.5% accuracy when it came to identifying true or false facts. So, I mean, that's a passing grade, but the fact that people are like, well, ChatGPT said, so it must be the truth. No, it's the scientists determined that these bots struggled to grasp the nature of knowledge. So their reasoning strategies were inconsistent, and they suggested a superficial pattern matching rather than actual understanding, which is kind of what we've tried to articulate in the past. This study is doing a great job of like putting a pin on it and being like, this is what's going on.
You know what it reminds me of? In law school, you had students who were great at memorization, but then the professor would use the Socratic method and drill down on, you gave me the facts of the case perfectly. You gave me the dates. You gave me the justice who ruled. But tell me why it's this. And they would really struggle.
Yeah.
You know? Sure. And it reminds me of what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, but this just gets down to the same thing. I think, fall back on calling it artificial intelligence because that's easier.
It's just a souped up search engine right now.
Absolutely.
That is what it is.
Yep. And maybe it's just like people.
Yeah, but it should be better, right? The whole point is that it's going to be better at telling fact from fiction than we are. And it's not even close.
So McDonald's profits have risen after they introduced these extra value meals. Their third quarter was strong, with same stores sales up 3.6%. So they're saying this is probably because of snack wraps, but also these extra value meals to attract customers with competitive pricing.
Can I air a complaint at McDonald's?
Sure.
Stop harassing me about my points going away on the app. I get emails, messages. You better use them because they're going. Why do they have to go away, by the way? Why can't I keep my points?
Yeah, they shouldn't go away.
Right. Why shouldn't I be able to keep the rewards that I'm earning by using, but you're offering to me by using your app? Why do you? And I know why. It's because they want to keep me addicted to crack. They're like, keep coming back in, keep coming back in, keep coming back in. It's because you're afraid you're going to lose your points. You can eat those points, but stop giving me points and telling me you're going to keep taking them away from me. If I get the points, let me keep my points. Or just shut up, one of the two.
We have some more astronauts stuck in space, unfortunately. A group of Chinese astronauts are facing a delayed return to Earth. Their spacecraft was believed to have been struck by a small piece of debris. So their return was originally scheduled for today. It's now been pushed back to an unspecified date.
It's nothing but trouble up there, man.
I'm telling you.
My whole opinion on space shifted.
Bill Shatner.
Yes. When Shatner went up there as Captain Kirk, and we were all like, Captain Kirk's finally going to space. And he came back down
crying.
Like, crying and saying there's nothing but death up there. I was like, all right, I'm going to stay down here.
Yeah.
I'm just going to sit on the ground.
Captain Kirk freaked the hell out.
I'm just going to lay down on the ground, get as close to the ground as I can, as far from space as possible.
See if you can get Shatner on.
Sure.
Let's take a shot at him.
Sure.
The Gateway Arch is reopening on select days thanks to a second round of nonprofit support. So last month was the 60-year anniversary of the Gateway Arch, and even though the government was shut down, some local companies banded together and donated enough money for the Gateway Arch to be open on those days and celebrate its 60th birthday. But Jefferson National Parks Association has announced that the park and the old courthouse will be open Fridays through Sundays starting this weekend, and this goes through November 23rd. It'll also be open on November 26th, 28th, and 29th.
That's great.
I think I read last week or saw a TikTok or something. I didn't drill down on it, but I think I saw that the National Park at the Arch is the most visited in the country. That can't possibly be true, right?
No idea.
I mean, like Yosemite, and it's so...
Yeah.
Well, think of how easy it is to visit the arch.
Yeah, I guess you're not making, like, you're not camping or anything.
Yeah, I mean, you can just park and get out, and it's well, right there.
It's, let's see here. I think it says here that the Great Smoky Mountains National Park was the most in 2024.
I've been lied to.
Yeah.
AI.
Oh, that could be. Damn AI getting things wrong.
Would you guys go up in the arch?
I would now. I used to be very afraid of it. Now I'm like, eh, who cares? I'll go up.
Yeah,
it's cool.
I'm more afraid of it now.
It's like, I mean, it's not scary.
So says he.
Yeah. I have claustrophobia. It'd be very scary.
Yeah, okay, if you have claustrophobia, then you don't want to be in the egg. That's correct.
Yes.
Yes. I just meant like just generally scary.
No,
the egg is a tight fit for some of us.
Don't act like I'm some small person.
Oh, I'm including you.
Because I fit. It was a little narrow, but yeah.
So this guy, this is why I'm not going in the arch.
Okay.
The guy I'm about to show you is traveling the country, and he came to St. Louis, and he's very likable, and he was eating barbecue and stuff, and I think he looks like Wheeler's little brother.
A little bit.
And he went up in the arch, and he was like, oh my God, that's the worst thing I've ever done in my life. And he like filmed the whole thing. So,
all right, People Magazine has named their sexiest man of the year for 2025. Would anyone like to take a guess?
I know who it is.
Yeah, I know who it is, but I don't know who it is.
Dave Glover.
I came in sixth.
Sixth? That's not bad.
Yeah.
It is British actor Jonathan Bailey, who was in Wicked, if you saw Wicked. But I'm kind of with Dave Murray. I don't know who this is. I don't know who this guy is. I did watch Wicked or the first half on the plane recently, and this guy, I wasn't like, whoa, what a hottie. I just thought he was kind of a normal-looking dude.
I saw the name, and I'm like, I don't know who that is.
Feels a little silly that we're still doing the whole sexiest man alive thing, but whatever.
Right. He's still just a popularity contest.
He's also the first gay man.
Oh, I didn't know he was gay.
Ever?
No. Well, there you go.
To be named.
Trailblazer.
He started the whole thing.
Started the whole thing, huh?
One day he's like, you know what?
I got a crazy idea.
Let me give that a try.
That timing was pretty damn good right there.
Just hear me out.
One last story for you guys. Comedian Nikki Glaser is going to host SNL this weekend. Nikki is, of course, from the St. Louis area. I haven't watched a live episode in SNL in a long time, but that's going to change this weekend. I'm excited to watch this. So good for Nikki. Congrats.
Yeah. Making the St. Louis look good.
For sure.
Yes.
Thank you, Dave. We appreciate it. We'll get it all straightened out for you. For
I'll text you very soon.
Yes. Wow. Very soon.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm getting scared.
What?
This song used to scare me.
This one?
Yeah. Witchy Woman.
Oh. Was it just the title that scared you?
No, like the whole vibes kind of. Like
I got you. It's got a little. Yeah.
I was like 10 or 11.
I get you.
And I was into music and I had headphones and one drum, like one floor tom. So I'd play dunk, 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 right? And it would get into the Witchy Woman stuff and I'd just go flying out. My mom and dad are watching Love Boat and I just come flying out. They're like, what are you guys doing? Can I watch Love Boat with you? And they're like, oh, little freak, you little puss. Get back in there and listen to music. You're afraid of the Eagles? Who's afraid of the Eagles? I was.
I mean.
No. You hate the Eagles?
Well, I'm not a huge fan of the Eagles, no. But I also I don't really find them all that scary.
I thought you had my back there for a second.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm going to just give you another kick.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know about another kick.
Kind of lured me in.
I don't know if that's necessarily what I did.
Just like, come here. I got something nice to tell you. Boom.
You are stupid. I just want you to know that. Oh, last night when I was in the zone, I wrote something down that made me laugh this morning. I wrote down accent mark. Because when I was little, I remember being especially excited by the accent mark when we got to it in English. What a little weirdo, right? It just had such a flourish to it.
Well, it makes you feel cool.
It does.
Mm-hmm. Anytime you can be a little different, you know?
I should add an accent mark to my name.
But we don't have them in the words in English.
Oh, here we go.
Do we?
I don't know.
I mean, we have apostrophes and stuff, but we don't have them in. Yeah, I know, but it's because it's not an English word.
Well, it's not a word at all.
What's that?
That's a good point. It's
Pokemon.
A name. Yeah.
Pokemon?
Yeah. It's got a little.
But other languages will have all those little accents right on top of the letters there as you print them out. English doesn't have that.
I guess fiancé is a French word?
Yes.
Is that, so would we consider that, would we not consider that an English word?
No.
It's not, it's used in English, but it's an adaptation.
Weird.
Do we spell it differently?
No.
Damn.
No.
How do they say it?
Fiancé.
Quit doing the devil laugh. You make my junk go numb.
What if he did
what
that
if I did
over...
that during Witchy
yeah.
Woman?
Oh my God. I'm not even kidding. If somehow you made your way into my bedroom at night and did that in my ear, I would just die. I would will myself. I would will my heart to stop.
It's like I've had enough.
I don't want to see who's standing next to me.
Just a little flashlight under my face.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.